I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
And this is Alt Latino. You know, since we started this show a few months ago, we've been bringing you guys brand new releases, discovering artists from across the world, and paying tribute to the legends. And we've gotten a lot of love from Latin music lovers who embark on this musical adventure with us once a week.
But we also get a lot of letters from folks who have stumbled across our show who really want to know more about Latin alternative and rock and Espanol, but they don't really know where to start.
Which is why we decided to do a crash course, kind of like Latin Alternative 101.
So we called up our friend Josh Norick, who co-hosts the show The Latin Alternative on WEXT in New York, in Albany, New York, as a matter of fact. He's also the vice president of Nacional Records and co-founder of the Latin Alternative Music Conference. So who better than Josh to put together a list of the essential must-have Latin alternative songs?
And Josh got pretty into it. It's a long list. It's been streaming for about a week on our site. That's npr.org/music.
And we're going to review some of those songs today with Josh himself. So Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Josh, you're really earning brownie points early on with me for today's list because you started with Argentine band Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, or Los
yes.
Fabulosos Cadillacs.
And the Cadillacs.
And their song Matador. Tell our listeners a little bit more about this group.
Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, or Los Cadillacs, if you're speaking with an Argentine accent, are probably the biggest rock band to ever come out of Argentina. They certainly can have been known to fill stadiums there. I think for a lot of people in their 30s, and certainly in my case, Los Fabulosos Cadillacs' song Matador was the gateway drug to Latin alternative music appreciation.
It's a great way
heavily percussive samba-inspired anthem with politically charged lyrics that address, you know, I guess you could say the fear instilled by the military dictatorships in Argentina and Chile in the late 70s. This song, Matador, was actually released as part of their greatest hits collection, Vasos Vacios, in 1994. And the moment I heard it, I was working for Warner Music Argentina at the time, I pretty much stopped listening to English language rock and became what in Spanish we call a rockero, or someone obsessed with rock en español.
There's almost a fierceness to this song, too. It's like it's an ominous in a way. But it just really opened things up for me back then to just explore the music in so many different ways.
You know, and this music, it's really something that Felix and I as percussionists can relate to. It's similar to Brazilian batucada, which is like the style of noisy drum squad, but in the River Plate area, we call it murga.
Yeah, and I think also as far as the Latin alternative song, it sort of ushered in the wave of what we would say Latin rock that actually fused Latin elements. I mean, up till then, you had a lot of bands from Mexico, like Caifanes, and also in Argentina, Soda Stereo, who were singing rock in Spanish, but it didn't necessarily sound overtly Latin. I think it's hard to hear Matador and not say, this is a Latin-sounding rock song.
So, Josh, you picked a lot of fighting songs, which we like. Here's another band that made your list, Puerto Rican reggaeton group Calle 13 with the song Calma Pueblo.
Nací mirando para arriba. junto al 23 de febrero. Después de estudiar tanto, terminé siendo rapero. Mi familia es grande, en mi casa somos 8. Y la clase media baja no recibe plan 8. Es normal que mi comportamiento no les cuadre. Y más cuando el gobernador desempleó a mi madre. Me desahogo cuando escribo mi letra franca. Para no terminar explotando en la Casa Blanca. Mis rimas se ponen.
So tell us a little bit about why you picked Calle 13.
Sure. Puerto Rico's Calle 13 seemingly came out of nowhere in 2005 as sort of a more alternative answer to the frequently sexist and more often, you know, musically repetitive reggaeton artist. These guys do not like being pigeonholed as a reggaeton act. Their live show often features a 12-piece band that actually I think stylistically has more in common with Los Fabulosos Cadillacs, whereas the typical reggaeton act features two vocalists shouting over pre-recorded beats. So a few months ago, Calle 13 made perhaps their boldest move to transcend the reggaeton genre when they collaborated with popular Texas alternative rockers the Mars Volta on this song, Calma Pueblo. You know, I like that Calle 13's vocalist Residente takes jabs at other artists dominating the radio charts. He actually says in Spanish, my label is not Sony, my label is the people. Mm-hmm. Not too many artists actually out there saying things like that. I think this song solidifies Calle 13 as the hardest rocking urban music crew out of Puerto Rico.
They have so much attitude. I mean, you know, they are very, very political. I was actually reading a really funny article about how Coca-Cola got them to do an advertisement in which their friends see them drinking Coca-Cola and they're saying, why are you drinking Coca-Cola? That's a gringo drink. And, you know, then he's like, I drink it so I can spit it out. And Coca-Cola, of course, rejected the advertisement. They wouldn't take it. But they're so, like, you know, middle finger to the world.
Yeah.
You know, Josh, a lot of people asked us, well, what makes Calle 13 alternative versus something like Daddy Yankee or Don Omar? And, you know, to me, I think it's in part the topics that they touch upon, right?
Absolutely. Their subject matter is quite different from a lot of the reggaeton acts. And, you know, it should be pointed out that this is actually a family band. People forget that Calle 13, Residente, and Visitante, they're actually half-brothers. Their mother, I believe, is a pretty well-known actress in Puerto Rico. And so they had a much more artsy, you know, art school upbringing than probably...
They went to Savannah College of Arts in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, let's be honest, that their upbringing was probably quite different, too, than, you know, the reality of, you know, some of the other artists who may have grown up in a more lower class environment. And the other thing is actually even their dancer and background singer is actually their sister as well. So they're not going to be denigrating women when it's their own sister on stage with them.
I told Felix the other day, I like that they're really super self-deprecating. Like when other rappers are talking about how great they are, you know, they have this awesome duet with Mala Rodriguez from Spain in which he's talking about how bad he is in bed. Yeah, I was like, what rapper does that, you know? but that's true. And also, you know, I was talking to one of a label executive once, and he was telling me that Calle 13 has kind of made it cool to be educated and to read and to be a rapper, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's pretty cool. So, Calle 13 reminds me a little bit of the next artist you picked because of his political commitment, and that's Manu Chao. Let's hear a little bit of Manu Chao.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena, correré mi destino. Para burlar la ley, perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar. Fantasma en la ciudad, mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad.
Manu Chao is a complicated and a lot of times pretty mysterious figure. So tell our listeners a little more about him.
Manu Chao is the son of Spaniards who fled the Franco dictatorship and grew up in France. Part of the reason I chose Clandestino is because, you know, we could have a debate all day about immigration policy, but sometimes an artist comes along and just tells a story about immigrant struggles in a way that resonates universally. Clandestino's lyrics are sung by a protagonist character, presumably taking his chance on a clandestine boat making its way from North Africa to Spain. But the character may as well be any of the millions of Mexican or Central American immigrants who risk their lives who come to the United States. One of the lines in the song would translate as, "I'm a lion in the sea, a ghost in the city. My life is forbidden, so says the authority." And it's interesting, I mean, even though Manu Chao is a platinum-selling artist in nearly every country in Europe, even including places like Norway and Greece, he's developed a particularly large following in the United States among Latino youth. I think they really identify with the sense of alienation in his lyrics, but also there's a lot of optimism that frequently marks his songs.
You know, he's an interesting transnational character. He sings in French, Spanish, English, Portuguese. He's like this wanderer, like this drifter. He's kind of from, that's his persona at least. He's kind of from everywhere.
And I thought it was fascinating that when he was lead singer for Mano Negra back in Spain, it was a very decidedly Spanish language audience. And I saw Manu Chao a couple summers ago here in suburban Washington, and there were very few Latinos there, to be honest with you. It was a very suburban white crowd. And I was just amazed at how his music had like crossed over. His message is reaching a lot of people.
So, Josh, I know that you had a lot of political and feisty songs, but you also have some romance in here. So how about we move on to a more romantic song, which is Mexico's Café Tacuba and the song Eres.
Eres is one of my favorite ballads in any language, and that's not easy. I have a friend in high school who once said, "Josh, you don't like any ballads out there in the whole world."
Ballads are hard.
You only listen to up-tempo rock songs, which is true. I run marathons. It's kind of hard to like listen to slow songs. But
well, you're one of my people, then.
Eres is truly one of my favorite ballads, though, in any language. And I confess that my wife and I are guilty of doing a slow salsa dance interpretation of Eres as the first dance at our wedding.
That's awesome.
But it's just a very romantic song. Like, the lyrics are just, it's not, you know, that there's like this cookie cutter recipe for most ballads, and this, I just feel like the dude is really sincerely pouring his heart out, no?
I love the song's lyrics, but it's funny because this song is actually Café Tacuba's biggest hit, I believe, and oddly enough, it's the only song that does not feature their vocalist, Ruben Albarrán, singing lead vocals. It's actually the keyboardist, Emmanuel Real, singing on the song. Café Tacuba, for those who are new to the band, are sort of Mexico's definitive art rock act. They're often compared to Beck for their willingness to cross genres and find that rare balance between art and commerce. And this song, Eres, you know, was their biggest hit. It came out in 2003. It's just a great romantic rock ballad with sweeping melodies, soaring harmonies, and, you know, lyrics that have been known to turn stone-faced roqueros into sentimental piles of mush.
Do you think it's bigger than Ingrata?
At least in more recent years. You know, Tacuba have had such a long history now that I think when you're talking to someone, you know, about the group's work in the last 5 to 10 years, this is the song that's likely to come up first.
You know, what I love about this band is that every member is doing like side projects. I mean, they have a biopic coming out now, like a documentary, but they're all doing different things. And Café Tacuba lead singer, actually, Ruben Albarrán, is Felix recently blogged about his new band called Hopo, in which he explores like Andean and Native American rhythms and traditional songs, but they're still coming out with an album next year. They're so prolific, you know, you wonder when these guys sleep.
I don't think they do.
Let's listen to a little bit more then.
Aquí estoy a tu lado.
Well, this is a good time to transition to a Colombian band, which you picked, Aterciopelados. It's interesting, because sometimes they can be really sweet and romantic, and sometimes they can be, like, totally punk rock, you know, like their song La Estaca, which is mm-hmm. totally, you know, get out of my face, I hate you, I can't, very aggressive. Sometimes it can be really romantic.
No es un mandamiento ser la diva del momento. ¿Para qué trabajar por un cuerpo escultural? ¿Acaso deseas sentir en ti todos los ojos y desencadenar silbidos al pasar? Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Mira la esencia, no las apariencias.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. The reason I chose this song, El Estuche, is it's sort of that combination of the two sides that you just so accurately described about Aterciopelados. You know, when they started in the early 90s, they were pretty, I guess you could call them a feminist punk band. And then Andrea Chiveri in 2005, she put out a solo album, which was all about being a mom. And so this song, El Estuche, came out in 98. You know, it features lyrics that I think are great. It says, Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Or look at the essence, not at outside appearances. The song came out in 98 on Aterciopelados' Grammy-nominated album, Caribe Atomico. And that was an interesting year. 1998 was the first year that the Grammy Awards had a category for Latin rock. And you were seeing more and more Latin alternative bands fusing disparate genres. In the case of El Estuche, you're hearing a marriage of late 90s trip hop, which, you know, was for a few minutes a pretty hot genre, and then mixed with Colombian folkloric sounds. I think that the late 90s were in many ways a creative peak for the Latin alternative genre, and Aterciopelados' El Estuche is an excellent time capsule from that period.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of that.
Lo que debes encontrar es una joya que te deslumbrará. Ay, pero mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. 90, 60, 90.
I'm always amazed at the different elements that they bring into the music. Like you said, it's anything from a feminist punk band to like folkloric elements. It's just the two members of the band, it's such a wide net that they cast in order to express themselves musically.
Now, we recently had Andrea Echeverri on the show, and she talked a little bit about her influences. And you could really tell that she was coming like from all over the place. I mean, she listed like Violeta Parra from Chile, like folk singer Victor Jara. But she also had, like, an Argentine punk band, you know, or a Brazilian rock group. I almost see her as, like, the accumulation of all these different streams, these different tributary rivers that create her music, you know, and the band's music. Well, Josh, the next band you picked is very, very young Mexican band, which we discovered at the Latin Alternative Music Conference, and they blew our socks off. And also, like I said, they were very young, and I specifically remember Felix simultaneously being like, they're so good, and also like, somebody needs to tell their mom that they're here. And I'm talking about Furland. So let's just hear them for a sec.
Escucha cómo se llena de...
before Josh tells us more about this band, Felix, what is it exactly that, in addition to your parental concern when you saw them on stage?
You know, the dad and me coming out. I was just impressed with, you know, the guy was playing a banjo, and I think I commented to you that night that, like, it's the first time I'd seen a Mexican playing a banjo, you know? And once they started playing, you know, their music is so well written, it's so put together, their arrangements, they pull it off live. It's just, it's really impressive to see them. You know, and even the lead singer, I think he had like a retainer or braces on, you know, it's okay to be young, you know, but I think that's doubled on top to, man, they're young and they're so talented, it's more impressive.
And their stage presence, I mean, you know, yeah, he had a banjo, then he switched to an electric guitar and was like writhing on the floor.
Yeah, that was
cool. Going crazy. But Josh, tell us more about this band and how Nacional discovered them.
Sure. First, I'm going to say that I think I was standing right between you and Felix when they came on, and I had the exact same thought. I was like, do their parents know they're here? They certainly look very youthful. I believe at least two of the members are in their early 20s, and I'm a huge power pop fan, so it would have been criminal for me not to give these guys props for their truly gorgeous melodic arrangements and Beatlesque harmonies. When I first heard Furland, I was just blown away. I mean, they're basically a new band from Mexico City that's really unknown in the United States. I mean, in Mexico, they have quite a following, but, you know, in the U.S., Nacional, we actually only released the album digitally, but we're finding that it's finding an audience. I don't think it's necessarily people who are looking for Latin rock, just people who like, you know, indie music. And there is a pretty big power pop scene in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Led by bands. You know, it's not just Furland, it's groups like Jumbo and Zoé. But I admit, these guys are probably my current favorite.
Well, speaking of an act that has become really well known across borders and culture, I want to play your next pick, which is Julieta Venegas' De Mis Pasos.
De sentir tu aroma reconocer.
Let's hear it for the accordion, man.
You know, yes. Okay, Josh, you're a third party here. I'm going to tell you, like, every partnership, Felix and I have a point of argument, and the accordion, the use of the accordion is often that point. Felix being Mexican-American, you know, there's no such thing as too much accordion. Me, you know, I like my accordion in certain genres. I like my accordion in tango, you know, I like my accordion in ska. I like what Julieta Venegas does with the accordion, though. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think Julieta is one of the few people who makes the accordion downright sexy. what I like about De Mis Pasos, it was Julieta Venegas' very first single from back in 1998. You know, she comes on like this accordion-wielding PJ Harvey or Fiona Apple. You're just struck by a very poignant voice and a dark but irresistible accordion-driven melody. You know, we know that Julieta found platinum pop success two albums later, but count me as one of those guys who thinks that some of the best art comes from being a broke artist. I just, you know, De Mis Pasos has sort of an edge that I feel, you know, I'm not going to be critical. I love Julieta's later work as well, but I think that her first two albums just had a great edge. And those two albums, coincidentally, happened to be produced by Latin rock uber producer Gustavo Santaolalla. You know, I think she made a wise move, too, because she went more pop, but she still plays the accordion. People recognize she's pretty distinct from other Latin pop acts. So yeah. I have a lot of respect for her for sort of bridging that divide between artsy, gothic chica from Tijuana and, you know, mainstream Latin pop household name.
Let's go back for a second and talk about Gustavo Santaolalla, because you played...
Who produced this record.
I believe he produced some Café Tacuba albums.
Mm-hmm. Can you Molotov,
talk,
too.
Can you talk about his role in producing some of these breakthrough albums in the early 90s and just who he is and what he brought to the table?
Sure. I mean, Gustavo Santaolalla is... You know, we call him the Latin rock King Midas because everything he touches turns to gold. But he was a rocker himself from Argentina who, I'm so bad right now, I'm totally blanking on the name of his group.
Arco Iris.
Yes. Yes, and he came to the United States and with his partner Anibal Kerpal created a company called Surco, and they produced not just artists like Julieta Venegas and Café Tacuba, but also all of Juanes' albums. And so they're interesting because they've worked with so many different types of groups, ranging from hard rock and hip-hop to
don't forget film.
Pop singers. Yeah, and of course they've scored many different films.
Brokeback Mountain.
He won an Academy Award for Brokeback Mountain.
And, you know, I actually one time I saw him. I just happened to be at and I'm not that big of a classical fan, but I happened to be seeing the opera singer Dawn Upshaw, and I look and there's Gustavo Santaolalla on stage. So, I mean, this is a guy who's everywhere, but he is truly one of the best producers because I think he lets each artist shine. He doesn't have a trademark style. Like, there's some producers like Mitchell Froom, who I think when they work with Los Lobos and Crowded House and Suzanne Vega, even though each of those artists is different, you hear a certain kind of stamp in the percussion. It's really hard to say that there's a one sound that Gustavo Santaolalla leaves behind. I think he just brings out the best in each artist and brings a very well-orchestrated approach to the music.
His stuff is always worth listening to, no matter who's doing it or what he's doing, even with his Nuevo Tango group.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that, Bajo Fondo.
How do we keep up with his list?
Well, that brings us to your final pick for today's show, and that is Mexican Institute of Sound and the song Cumbia. Let's listen to that. Another band we got to see live at this year's Latin Alternative Music Conference that really blew us away because their live performance is insane. It's like they're having like a musical seizure on stage. They're going crazy. And you think like, dude, you're going to like break your synthesizer or fall off stage or something. I mean, they're really excellent. And Josh, we've been talking a lot in our show about the resurgence of cumbia. And when I was growing up, cumbia was decidedly uncool. You know, then I moved to the U.S. and there's this resurgence and rebirth of cumbia, and it's become really cool sometimes in a tongue-in-cheek way, but people have started embracing cumbia a lot, and it's interesting to have rediscovered a genre that is native of where I'm from, Argentina, and Peru and Colombia, but to have rediscovered it here in the U.S. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, of the many traditional Latin genres that's been probably most well received by Latin alternative acts and integrated into their music. What I love about Mexican Institute of Sound's track Cumbia is just it takes these like this big beat electronica that a fan of Fatboy Slim or the Chemical Brothers would appreciate and mashes it up with cumbia. There's also an incredible backstory when we're talking about this artist, Mexican Institute of Sound. By day, Camilo Lara is actually the president of EMI Mexico and was recently promoted to the head of A&R for all of EMI Latin America. And by night, he's known as Mexican Institute of Sound, this uber cool Latin electronic artist who's played festivals like Coachella and Bonnaroo. And offstage, he's this kind of really quiet guy who's this music executive.
Oh yeah, and you see him and he looks like he walked right out of the accounting office.
Exactly.
Took, you know, unbuttoned his shirt a little, ruffled his hair, and then he just goes crazy.
He goes crazy on stage. I remember when we first got his demo, like, for his first album, probably 6 years ago, you know, there was a little bit of a, I wonder what this is going to sound like. And after about a second, we're like, wow.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show for today. We've reviewed a pretty complete list of songs put together by Josh Norick. He is co-host of The Latin Alternative on WEXT in Albany, New York. You can check that show out at exit977.org.
Josh, you want to give your co-host a shout out? What's his name?
His name is Ernesto Lechner, and he is one of the most prolific writers, I guess you could say, about Latin music in the country for many years with the LA Times and contributor to Rolling Stone, and a native of Argentina like Jasmine.
A very respected writer, been reading him for years.
Now, the list that we went through today is not the complete list. You can check out the complete list at our website, npr.org/music. Josh, I want to thank you so much for putting together this list and for joining us today.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun, and I hope we get to banter on about music again sometime in the future.
Oh, you have to promise me you'll come back.
Happy to.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
And this has been Alt Latino.